He's a good God, and his God is good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we just worship you. We thank you for the word this morning, Lord. I thank you, God, as we come into your word and we open the pages of the holy book, God, that you speak to us with every syllable that's written therein. And Lord, we just want to honor you and praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn them to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject of the power to live. Right? We don't just get saved and then, you know, that's good. That's and life is just what it is. He gives us power to live. And by power, I mean the might, the strength, the ability to live. And he wants us to live in him. Let me say that again. He wants us to live in him. He wants our every breath to be concerned and consumed with the fact that he's with me. Because if we don't have that, then peace goes. Because circumstances happen, right? Glory to God. But I want to read some powerful verses and then we'll make some comments. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just have a question to ask you. Are there any in this room that have obtained like precious faith? Come on, does that apply to anybody? Does that apply to you? It applies to me, and I receive it. Amen? Amen. What does that mean? I received like precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. His righteousness and the work that he did for us on the cross. Our condition in living with the Christian life is based on who we're in relationship with. Come on. Come on. I want to talk to you just a minute, and we'll get back into these verses about the fact that we're saved. We're saved. And we know that, and that's kind of a nice Christian term, but we throw it around sometimes too loosely without understanding the full implications of the word. You know, the word saved is sozo, and many of you know that in the Greek, sozo. But it's much more than my sins are forgiven. In fact, it has the implication, let me read this to you so I don't get it messed up. It means to save. It means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger, to heal, to deliver, and give eternal life. See, we're not just saved from something, we're saved to something. Let me say that again. Sozo implies that we're not just saved from something. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved from the wrath that was associated with the sins that were on me. And I'm glad for that, right? I'm really happy for that. But I'm not saved just from that. I'm saved into eternal life. And it's that like precious faith. In other words, our believing what God has promised and walking in it gives us a different status or a different outlook on life. Right? If you've truly been born again or saved, it's more than just, I'm now a Christian. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, what does that mean? Come on, what does that mean? That means that I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that my heart has been made brand new, that God's Spirit dwells on the inside of me, and I can have a relationship with Him. I was saved from hell, but I'm saved into heaven. The Bible says that I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I don't always feel like that. I don't know about you. There's times in my life when I'm hurting, when something's happening. That doesn't come to mind, but it should. I said it should. We should reflect on that, as Sharon was speaking about earlier. But watch this now. This is so good. Our position is the same as Peter's, because we have the same precious faith that he did, right? To watch this, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. What does that mean? Again, we're saved from something, but we're saved into something. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were saved by grace through faith. It's our believing that was the door to enter into the grace, but the grace of God is not something that you just, I got saved by grace. Awesome. But what about the work of grace that's supposed to be going on in you right now? Watch this, because we have grace, but there's more grace. Come on, Peter here wouldn't have said, listen, grace and peace be multiplied to you if you had all you can have. I don't know about you, but I want it all. I want it all. I mean, when I was living for the world, I didn't want just a little buzz. I wanted the big buzz. I wanted it all. Right? Come on, I'm going to go for it. It's time for us to go for it. It's like, God, I want all the grace that you have for me. Now, we could go into grace for weeks and weeks and weeks, but suffice it to say this, grace is God's absolute gift to us because he wants to give it to us. And inside of that grace is everything that is necessary for us to fulfill the purpose that he has for our lives. Whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, that grace is there. And Peter, the Holy Spirit through Peter says, I don't want you just to have a little bit of that. I want it to be multiplied unto you. I believe this grace identifies us with God in such a way that he wants us to help us love people. And we're going to see that more clearly. He wants to help you in your relationships with people you don't like. And even with people that you love and maybe even married to, but you don't like them very much right now. Now, has anybody ever been there? His grace being multiplied to you can give you supernatural power to not only endure it, but to be victorious in it. Change my heart, oh God, right? We want his grace multiplied unto us. Hallelujah. I like this, that we're all in the same boat, right? All, every one of us, if we don't know Jesus, then we're outside. But once we've made and received that same precious faith, then we're inside. Hallelujah. I'm not more saved than you're saved. Come on. But again, that word saved, it's so powerful. It means delivered. And in the New Testament, it's used over and over again. When demoniac was delivered from the evil spirits, he was saved. People were healed. They were saved from their infirmities. But it's like they weren't just saved. I love this. Jesus, when he's talking like with the woman with the issue of blood, he said, your faith has made you whole. It didn't say, you're free of your sickness. It's one thing to be free of your sickness. It's a completely different thing to be made whole. Right? And I believe whole means whole. It's that same grace that was applied to her because of her faith that can be applied to us in our life with whatever we're going through. There's scriptures that we just I don't know what we do. We live our lives and we go, yeah, I know that's there, but I don't need that right now, or it doesn't apply to me right now. Well, if that's your attitude, you're right. What about this verse? It says, if you lack wisdom, in other words, if you don't know what to do, ask God. It says that He gives liberally. Liberally, what does that mean? Here you go. That's grace being multiplied to you. If you'll receive it, He said, but don't doubt about it. When you ask, believe that He's going to give it to you. It can change everything. It can change your stress level. Well, I'm under stress. Well, have you asked? Because once you ask, you can know that you have it because of the grace that's being multiplied to you. I'm talking to you about the power to live. Live out your Christian life, not just get through till we get to heaven, but have an outstanding life for God based on the relationship that we have with Him. These verses are in just outstanding. Look at verse 3. And read this in the context of your relationship with Him and His grace and His will for His grace to be multiplied to you. Say to me. To me. I take this personally. I hope you do. Take this personally. I'm going to read 2 and then go into 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and by virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He's not going to give it to you. It's already yours. But here's how we come to walk in more of it, is that we speak with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I believe You want to show me. So we're going to see in a minute, I am going to be a person that's constantly seeking divine knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is facts that you may not have. Right? If you wanted to learn to be a nuclear physicist, you'd probably have to go to school and get some knowledge in order to one day say, that's who I am. See? Now the precious promises of God that He wants to multiply to you, you've got to know about before you can walk in them. And knowledge comes from Him revealing His word to you, what He's already done and what He's already said. So when you read this book, you need to take it personally. God, You want to multiply Your grace to me? I'm Your man. And then when you read scripture that says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things concerning me, you need to take that personally and never be in doubt that you have the capacity to learn and to grow in God. Not because of your position, not because of from the standpoint of, well, I'm a pastor, I'm an evangelist, or I've been saved for so long. No, the minute that you got born again, you were saved into this that I'm talking about. What's the power to live? The power is the knowledge of how to operate in what God has given to us. Glory to God. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. How many know God? How many think there's more to Him than you know already? Come on, come on. I'll tell you, we sang the song Heart of Worship, and sometimes I feel like that. It's like, Jesus, you've done so much for me, and our relationship based on our experience plus based study of the Word is so good, but I don't know anything about you. Right? I feel like, God, there's so much missing in the puzzle. But my faith, based on His Word, says, but you've already made it available to me, and so I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. I'm coming after it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue because I want more of that knowledge, because the more knowledge that I have, the more capacity I have to walk in what He's promised me. Read verse 3 again. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. This is almost too good to be true. Be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is through the world through lust. I have His divine nature available to me so that I can live my life in such a way that I'm not living it by myself or through myself, but He's living it through me. No, this is just too much. This verse is way too much. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I mean, great and precious would have been great, but this says exceedingly great. Exceedingly great. Have you ever had anything that's exceedingly? He goes, have you ever been over to somebody's house and they just are so gracious to you, it's like, I can't take anymore. See, that's exceeding grace. And part of that reason is you can't receive anymore because you don't know the worth that you are in the sight of God. Right? You get to know that. You go, oh, God, this is for me. This is for me. I'm not being greedy about it, but I want to walk in Your promises, Lord. It's not about me, Lord, but I want to live my life for You completely. You see, that's the basis for where we're going to go to next and what we're going to talk about, because I want to live in the power of God. And I want the power of God living in me as I, you know, do what I'm going to do after church today and tomorrow and the next day and when I get back into the routine of doing what I'm going to do. I know I've been saved, but that saved means that I was healed, I was delivered, and it's His precious promises that put that in my life, and I've got to continue to walk in the knowledge of that, even rather than the circumstances that I face. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Now think about that. That knowledge of knowing will keep you going when it seems like all obstacles want to stop you. And we'll see this clearly, I think. Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. For this very reason, because of all He's done for us. For this very reason, all that He's done for us. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What does diligent mean? It means on it all the time. Come on. I'm diligently seeking Him. I'm diligently after it. It's like if I was going to run a marathon, which I'm not, if I was going to run a marathon and I wanted to get in shape, I'd have to be diligent about getting in shape. I'd have to wake up in the morning. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Right? Because I have a goal in mind, I'm going to be diligently giving myself to it. It means disciplining yourself on purpose towards something. diligently. Glory to God. How many have ever, said, Lord, I'm going to wake up in the morning, Lord, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get up at such and such a time, and that alarm just goes somewhere else. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. Well, maybe next year. That's not diligence. Right? Let's read this again. It's so good. For this very reason, because of all he's done through us, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's not a word we use very, very much anymore, virtue. And we kind of know what it means, but really what it means is moral character. that verse that I quoted in Ephesians about that we've been saved by, we are saved by grace through faith. The next verse goes on to say, unto good works. If you have the attitude, well, I'm saved, I'm just saved, and glory to God, I'm going to heaven, so God doesn't mind that I'm doing what I know I'm not supposed to be doing. Right? That's just stupid, first of all, but it's also garbage. If you're saved, it should drive you to do what he wants you to do, which will give you moral character. I was talking with a young man the other day, and I said, what's the most valuable thing you own? And he began to describe some things, and I said, well, that's not it. And he started talking about something else. I said, that's not it. And he looked at me, like I fell out of a well. And I said to him, the most valuable thing you own is your name. Is your name. And the integrity and the value that you place on the integrity of your name will cause everything else to come into line. Now watch this. We are no longer of the earthly heritage. Our name is no longer the earthly lineage that we have. My last name is Dugan because my dad's name was Dugan and his dad's name was Dugan. But when I got saved again, I got a new father. And that new father changed my whole identity. So the character that I have and the name that I'm trying to live in light of is his name and not my name. So when I believe, it should propel me to want to live right. And do the right thing because it's the right thing no matter what it costs me. Amen. And listen, this is so cool. He's given you the power and the promises to be able to do it. But we've got to be more full of that than the self-doubt or the manipulative ways we've had in the past to deal with life. We've got to get back into the fact that, God, I'm yours completely. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my Lord and Savior. I surrender all. You see, faith leads us to character, moral character. Here's what we do, though, is the enemy will say, well, you can't do that. You can't be honest. You can't be kind. You can't be virtuous. You can't be those things. After all, your daddy had a temper and your granddaddy had a temper. Or they had lusted for this, or they were alcoholics, or they were this, or they were that. Stop it. Because your bloodline changed when his blood began to rule and run in your veins. I can do all things through my relationship with Christ who strengthens me. given me and multiplied grace to me that his precious promises were mine. So when I'm living my life and I'm facing some of these issues, or as Hebrews says, those sins that so easily beset us, I have to come with the knowledge that his precious promises are available to me to rule over that. So come on, let's just get practical, man. When you're facing something that, and every one of us are different. Maybe yours is gossip. Oh, I thought you were going to say lust. They're all the same. It's all the same. Maybe it's anger. But when you're facing that, be diligent about finding out what God has said about it. Come on. And then face it head on with God's promises. Because those promises have given you victory over it. Let me give you another one. How about fear? I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that. Well, first of all, I say this in the most kind and Christian way. Shut your mouth. Quit giving place to that fear. Because he said to fear not. I just love this, and I'm not going to go into the testimony of it. But fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Come on. The more, watch this. The more that you know that you know that you know that, the less fear can have a hold of you. When you really truly get a hold of the fact that God is with me in this, that I can truly understand that he'll get me through this. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. See, I'm talking about the power to live your life in such a way that your stress level can go down to zip. Come on, your fear can go away. Listen, what is stress? Stress is the fear of not knowing what you're going to do or what's going to happen. But when you get into the promises of God and you diligently look to those, you can get to the place, whatever. Whatever. I've told this story before, but it's a teacher that I had in Rhema, and he started getting into the verses about fear, and he just quoted them over and over and over again. Fear not, or do not have any anxiety or anything. I mean, over and over and over again. He said, his wife made the statement. He said, man, he doesn't worry about anything. It's almost to me sometimes like he doesn't care, but it's not that he doesn't care. He's just got a hold of the fact that God's with him and God will get him through it. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure right here, but it's not mine, it's his. Because he told me to cast all the pressure onto him. Because he cares for me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's precious promises that allow us to live a life that's full of moral character because we know he's got our back. This is the same guy, his wife was saying, this was in Oklahoma, that an ice storm came up, and some of you don't know what an ice storm is. We have cold here, but an ice storm is when it's a sheet of glass across the road. He said, we hit one of those. We were driving on the expressway, and our cars just went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And she's going, and she said, you looked over at him, and he was going. Because he got inside of him by diligently looking into the word of truth, the knowledge that God was with him, and there were angels around the car. And come on, come on. Living life under the power of God takes us to say, Lord, now this is what you said, and I'm surrendering to that. And listen, body, you're going to have to line up with this. Mind, listen, we got a whole new way of thinking. I'm not listening to you anymore. You know, oftentimes we think, well, the devil's just driving us crazy, or there must be demons behind what I'm thinking. But most of the time it's not demons, it's just our habits of thinking. It's our knowledge of the way things have to be because this is who I am. And the reality is nothing could be further from the truth. Why? Because I've got God living on the inside. And He's already healed me. He's already delivered me. He's already given me eternal life. He's already given me wisdom. He's already given me everything that I need that pertains to life and to godliness. I can live a godly life not because I'm straining and groaning and moaning and trying to be religious about doing it. I can do it because I've got God living in me. I believe. But at the same time, I refuse to let myself become slack, not only in the promises of God, but in the virtue of God. What do I mean? A little lie is okay. After all, if I lie to her, she won't get mad at me. Have you ever noticed how a little becomes a little more, and then 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 a little more? And that's the definition of backsliding. The definition of backsliding is not giving complete thought to the action that you're doing, which is causing you to be apart or away from what God's character is. Right? But it doesn't happen all at once. Most of you are here on Sunday morning. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. All right, God, I'm out of here. I'm done. But it's giving way or giving in to thoughts that would eventually drive you away from His presence. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're going to be diligently seeking after Him and walking in the things that He wants us to walk in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, let's go again to verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Isn't that something? He said, we have these promises based on the knowledge of God, the God that we serve, and the grace that's multiplied to us. But he says, now, get more knowledge. Why? Because it's the knowledge that allows us to grow to the next level. And it's the knowledge of Him. Now, how does knowledge come? It comes different ways, right? I mean, you can go apply at Olympic College and get knowledge in a certain subject, right? Let me just give you one example. It'll kind of help with the thought I'm trying to get across. I think they still have, I'm not sure, but they have auto tech classes at Olympic College. And you can go there and you can take the courses on auto, you know, and get knowledge on how car repairs work and whatever. That's one way of getting the knowledge. But another way of getting that same knowledge is having your dad own a gas station. And, you know, at 14, he was having you change tires. And at 16, he was having you change oil. And by the time you're 25, you already know everything about the cars because you have a working knowledge of it. And oftentimes, a working knowledge is better than a book learned knowledge. So what I'm saying, the knowledge of God that's coming is not just us studying the Word of God, but it's having a knowledge of working the knowledge that we have with God in a relationship so that the next time, oh, I know that. I don't know if you can do this, but there are some things like in cars, and I worked on cars a little bit because I had to. I couldn't afford to get them fixed by anybody else, so I had to. But I can hear some things and know what the problem is because I have a knowledge of it. When a knowledge in God, when you know that you know that you know and you know how the Holy Spirit reacts on the inside of you and you have a working knowledge of how to interact with Him, something comes up and you go, that's just not right. I mean, the still small voice on the inside, that's just not right. How do you know that? Because your knowledge experientially has grown in God to where you go, that's not right. And the last time I didn't pay heed to this, I got in big trouble, and I'm not going to do that again. Which leads us to walk in the moral character or the virtue that He has. So we go from faith to moral character, but then we continue to walk in a working knowledge of Him in our relationship with Him that gets us better and better and better and better, able to live our lives and fulfill what He has for us. And hallelujah. I'm going to read through this and we'll begin to close. But watch this. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Everybody say self-control. Just hold your place right there and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Glory to God. In 2 Timothy, the King James reads, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But most other translations, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Self-control, sound mind, self-control. Same thing, self-control. What does it mean? He's given me the ability to control the thoughts that I'm having and the actions based on those thoughts. So when you tell yourself, well, I just can't quit lying, or I just can't quit stealing, or I can't quit looking at that, or I can't quit doing that, or I can't, that's a lie. I said, that's a lie. But that lie is real to you because the enemy is using deception to keep you bound where God has already set you free.
Right. True.
It's already been done. I've got the life of God on the inside of me. I've got the love of God on the inside of me. So to knowledge self, back to 2 Peter, to knowledge self-control. In other words, listen, I need to keep my body under. I love that. And Paul said, I keep my body under. Now that's a strange phrase. If you think about that for just a minute, he's talking to other people. He says, I keep myself under. Or I tell my body to be under. What does that mean? He means that there's different parts of his identity and his being that are separate from one another. You all know this, but we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. But what we have to determine is who's in charge. Is my spirit man in charge? Is my intellect in charge? Or is my body, my flesh, in charge? I'm telling you right now, it's my spirit man. Because that's where my power is. Do you understand? That's where my help comes from. That's where everything is based out of. When I became born again, became a new man in Christ Jesus, my soul had still had crazy thoughts. My flesh still wanted to do what it wanted to do. But my spirit was made brand new. I'm a brand new man. So I got to give my spirit preference over my soul and over my body. And that's what self-control is. But again, I'm not trying to do it. I'm doing it out of my relationship with God based on the knowledge that He's already given me the power to be able to do it. Glory to God. So what do? When a thought comes, say something. When a feeling comes, say something. What do I mean? Come on. You begin to look at something you know you're not supposed to be looking at or lusting after something. You speak to that thing. You say, no, in the name of Jesus. Right now, soul, you're going to get in line with the Word of God, and the Word of God says such and such. When fear comes to you, say something. Right when you're feeling it, say, no, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Fear not, for I am with thee. Come on. When you're feeling broke, say, no, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. Come on. When you're saying, you're basing what you're saying on the knowledge that you have, and you're enforcing the promises and reminding yourself of the promises of God to live your life according to what he's done for you. When you say you can't, I'm just done. Have you ever said that? I'm done. I'm just done. God, I've had it. You know that knucklehead I'm married to. I'm done. You need to speak to that. Because that's a lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, just 2 more minutes and we'll close. I'm going to have to pick this up next week because I haven't even touched it yet. Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. That means I'm on guard. I'm on guard. I'm diligent. I'm standing guard over this, over my life, over my mind, over the promises of God, over my faith, over everything that God's done for me. Add to your faith virtue, moral character. And to virtue, knowledge. What you do is who you are. What he did is who you become, but what you do is what you are. Let me say that again. What he did is who you become, but what you do is who you are. To knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love. For these things, listen to this, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many want to be fruitful in God? How many want to give God glory and God, you know, you get up to heaven, what do all of us want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we want to hear? Well done. Well, this verse is capsulizes all the verses before and says, this is how to do that. It's because again, in verse 8, and we'll take this up next week. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say it this way. The knowledge that you have of God will not just be a head knowledge, it will be a heart knowledge that's lived out through your life. I don't just know it, I know it and do it. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for you being here with us. Lord, there's just no way that we can thank you for everything that you've done for us and all the promises that you've made to us. And even today, Lord, I'm just humbled in your sight and I ask you, Lord, to forgive my failings and forgive my lack of diligence concerning the things that you've spoken to us about this morning. And I ask you, God, to help me turn that around. I want to live my life for you, period. I want to please you. I don't want to please men. I just want to be who you want me to be. And you promised me, Lord, that you would give me the power to do that. So I'm just humbling myself before you, and I'm asking you to fill me with that power right now. In Jesus' name. If you're listening online, man, just get on your face before God and talk to Him. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do that right now. Just say, Jesus, I understand that I'm a sinner, I'm away from God, and I need forgiveness. Come into my heart. And Lord, I'll give you the rest of my life 100% in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.